how did you get started working with wigs and with hair?
Well, I started as a hairdresser. Dropped out of school at 15, 9 months, not knowing what to do, where life was going to take me, thinking I had failed at life at that age, and just fell into hairdressing. And then sort of after I kind of qualified for my apprenticeship and became a professional, like a qualified hairdresser, I sort of realised that salon work wasn't for me. By that stage, I had started doing drag as a very sort of, you know, young lass. So I kind of wanted some more flexibility with my work so I could concentrate on, you know, having fun and enjoying myself and enjoying being young. So I sort of started doing wigs for people, wigs for drag queens, because there's no one else doing it. And then I ended up working in a wig shop and it just sort of all fell into place very sort of very nicely, as luckily for me, most things in my life have done. It was a very easy progression to start doing wigs. It was really almost like it was actually forced upon me, because there was no one doing wigs sort of for drag queens in Sydney at the time, really. And I was sort of like, even though I had no experience doing actual wigs, I kind of was the best thing that they had sort of on offer. So people started asking me, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And, you know, coming from a very working-class, blue-collar background, you never say no to work. So I was like, yeah, sure, okay, I'll do it. And got paid a little bit of money on the side. And then, yeah, it sort of fell from there, really.
So how did this transition into the creation of kind of the Wigs by Vanity juggernaut that exists today?
Well, look, I always was fascinated with wigs. I was always a bit of a wig addict, even from a very young age. Like, I sort of remember having my first wig when I was about 13 years old. And even before that, was like obsessed with Barbie's hair, and I was just with, I used to make my own wigs out of wool and,
oh, wow,
and like, was obsessed with it. Didn't always want to have long hair. So when I started doing drag, it wasn't sort of doing hairdressing, really. I sort of, you know, was gravitating more towards the styling of it, because I love that element of it, as opposed to like, the chemical side of it. And I then kind of started doing drag, and I started collecting wigs and just loved having them and got a bit sort of obsessive about it. And then when I started working in the wig shop, I kind of sort of realised, well, I kind of learned the technical side of it, of commercial wigs, not necessarily wig making, but just wigs that were sold in shops. And I kind of thought then that I would love to have my own wig line one day. And never really, you know, when you have these like dreams when you're young, you don't really realise or think that they're ever going to come into fruition. And then I kind of, you know, got filling this opportunity where I had a shop, and I wasn't making my own wigs. I was sort of like importing them and sort of just bringing them in. It was very, very basic and didn't do very well. It didn't last very long, and I hated every second of it. But it sort of taught me enough about it that I kind of got enough knowledge about it to think, oh, well, maybe I could do this. And then me and my business partner, Shane, who's Courtney Act, we kind of got together and we decided we're going to do Wigs by Vanity. And really it started out basically because we wanted to have our own wigs, like for ourselves, and have fabulous wigs and sort of, you know, have people pay for them. So, like getting some for them, we'll also make profit, we'll get our own wigs.
Right, that one off as a business expense, easy peasy.
And it was also at the time, it was before kind of China was mass producing. We were kind of the first people to do, we wanted to do lace front wigs made for drag queens, because you couldn't get that at the time.
So what is
made
the
in synthetic hair.
What is the difference between a wig made for a drag queen and like a your regular retail wig? What were you offering to the market that was really different?
Well, the regular wigs, they were, I'd say, majority of nice wigs on the market, like that are available to buy, sort of ready made, are more tailored towards, definitely tailored towards women, and a lot of them are tailored towards women who are going through cancer or chemotherapy and who are losing their hair, so sort of medical purposes. There wasn't a really big market for fashion wigs. Like, I think back then in the sort of the 90s, and for when I was sort of drag and hairdressing in the 90s, it was like, yeah, wigs weren't fashionable. We weren't wearing them for fashion. Not like now. Like,
the Jenners hadn't got onto it. It wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah, exactly. So it was very limited to what they're very natural, which is fine. But you know, you just have to buy a few of them to make them, you know, appropriate for a drag. So we just basically wanted to do fabulous lace front wigs like RuPaul's. and without paying thousands and thousands of dollars for them. So we kind of started, you know, developing the idea. Well, I had already developed the product, really. I had learned how to do it myself and was offering that service to customers, but it's such a long labor. It's like it's just a very time-consuming process. And I wasn't an expert. I was all self-taught, so it took me even longer. So that's when we sort of, you know, started to sort of investigate China. And because it wasn't really done at the time, it was very difficult. We spent years developing our samples and the original prototypes and stuff like that. Well, about a year, I'd say, because it was just not done before. And now it's everywhere, of course. And not that I want to take credit for it, but, you know.
Pioneer. You're an absolute pioneer, in my opinion. And, of course, the wigs that you do create, the kind of styles that you create that, you know, your 80-plus thousand Instagram followers enjoy day in and day out are so amazing and so intricate. How long does it take you to put something like that together?
Well, look, it depends on what people ask for.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird situation because I sort of got to be at this point in my life. I'm running a business and my time's valuable, and I've got a lot of things I want to do, For me to do my best, not that I'm saying that I don't do my best work, it's always my best work, but, like, it's always on a scale. Yeah. It's always on a scale of what people could afford. Mm-hmm. And so if they've got a lot of money, like, I'll invest, you know, put more time into it, and, you know, I'll sort of have to work with them to sort of, you know, figure out what their budget is. Mm. So, I mean, sometimes I walk away from it and think, oh, I'd love to spend another 4 hours on that or 5 hours on that, but there's just, you know, there's just no point. Like, well, not no point, but, like, you know, it's just, it costs me money by then, like, so...
Yeah. Or
so
smart
I
business.
Kind of,
yeah.
You know, oh, look, it depends. Like, it depends on what it is. It can take, and it's a very time consuming process. And I've got this lovely assistant that helps me. And look, it can take anywhere up to, by the time you get a wig, if it's been styled before, you've got to brush it out, you've got to wash it, you've got to let it dry, you've got to set it, you've got to style it. It can take up to 8 hours, really, to do a wig.
Oh, my God.
From start to finish. Yeah. And that's what people don't realize. It's quite a time consuming process.
Yeah. Well,
from start to finish.
It's an art form. It is truly, they look intense.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I do try and put a little bit of my soul into every week, which is why I can't do it to people I don't like.
Fair enough.
I can't do it.
Fair enough.
I can't give them a piece of my soul.
So tell us then about your experience with Priscilla. I know at the beginning of the year or kind of in the middle of the year you came back to the production and did some more work on it, but this wasn't the first time that you'd worked on Priscilla.
No, this is like my seventh time, actually. I started when it was in Australia, when it was... for the first starting in Australia, the stage show was being made. And I came on board quite late. Like, it was before opening night. So it wasn't like it was... I came on before the show opened, but in the actual production of it, it was like I came in late. And I came in to do... to help the makeup designer with 1 day of a photo shoot just to do makeup on a couple of cast members. And then I just never left. and then I ended up working my way up to being just an additional makeup artist to doing the associate makeup designer and the wig supervisor.
Gosh.
Which is a long road, and I kind of, you know, I'd worked really hard and I was very, you know, very ambitious at the time, being young and youthful with lots of energy. and so I did this full Australian tour, and then they took me to the UK and I worked on the West End for 2 years. And then I did the Broadway setup, and then I went to did Brazil and Milan and Sweden. And then my road stopped there, and I had a couple of years off, and then I came back and I did the return season to Sydney, which was lovely. I really enjoyed the return season. It was a nice close of that chapter.
Yeah. Well, it's been such an absolute joy speaking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. How wonderful.